This week, I filled my car with gas. I filled a tire that was low on air. I filled glasses with water for various meals at the dinner table. I filled my closet with clean shirts, and I even checked my woodshed to see how full of wood it was and what I was going to need for next winter. You know, we're constantly filling things up, aren't we? I mean, there's probably 100 different things that you check, is this full, or you did, or you filled it up. Well, you know, I want to kind of shift that to ask a question this morning. What is filling you up? What is it that is filling and influencing your life? And being honest, I mean, really the most, what is filling and influencing? There's a lot of things, and you know, for some people, maybe it's sports. You know, my life is all about my team. My life's just full there. For others, it's girls or boys. You know, life is filled with concern over whether so-and-so even notices me. Some are filled with the influence of politics or with culture, with work or pleasure. Maybe we're full of an attitude. Some seem to be so full of anger or disappointment. People who we know who are full of fear, or maybe they're just plain full of self. You know. Well, what are you full of this day? Well, listen to what God says should fill us from Ephesians 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and we want to think this morning about what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit. Now, the New Testament uses two different words for filled when it comes to the Spirit. One of those words means being filled with the power of the Spirit, but the focus is somewhat external, where the power of God comes upon a person, enabling that person to speak or act with boldness for Jesus. And so we see this, the disciples at Pentecost. They are filled with the Holy Spirit, and what happens? They begin to preach Jesus with boldness. Well, just a few days after Pentecost, Peter's up at the temple, and he heals a lame man, and the religious leaders, of course, they're jealous, they're frustrated with this, and they bring Peter in, and they demand to know, in what power, what name have you done this healing? And the text tells us that Peter was filled with the Spirit. And what did he say? It is Jesus who did this. It is the name and power of Jesus on display here in this man's life. Well, that night, Peter goes back to the church, gathers a bunch of church folk, and they have a prayer meeting. He's telling them all about what happened up at the temple. Well, they pray, the house begins to shake, and then the text, again, in Acts chapter 4 says, they were all filled with the Spirit. And what resulted? They began to speak the word of God with boldness. Well, the word filling in all these contexts, these passages, means that God gives power in a specific moment so his people may serve Christ or testify to Christ so that Jesus may advance his cause, his purposes in that situation. But there's another word for filled, and that's the word that we find here in our passage in Ephesians 5. And it's more so the filling of the Spirit within, the inner work of the Spirit in a Christian's life. Now, this inner work is not something that happens sporadically in some specific situation here or there. Be filled is present continuous. I mean, this is the normal Christian life for us. We are to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you only have in your life, perhaps when you start out, maybe 10% of the Spirit, and if you pray and work real hard, you get 30, and if you're really super spiritual, you get 90% of the Spirit. You know, God doesn't give the Spirit in little dribbles and drops. Scripture tells us that the Spirit has been given in full measure. And Christian, you have the fullness of the Spirit in you. And so the issue really is, does the Spirit have the fullness of you? I think at times we treat the Holy Spirit as we treat guests in our home. Portia and I, like some of you, have people who come and spend the night or maybe a few nights. For us, we see parents of a college student or maybe a relative is in town for business or somebody attending a conference who just needs a bed. Now, Portia and I are pretty busy people. During the day, we both work outside the home. And so, you know, guests come and, we do what we can, but we hardly see some of our guests. You know, we leave a trail of breadcrumbs to their room. We give them the Wi-Fi codes. We show them how to make coffee and raid the refrigerator. But we hardly ever see them, maybe a few minutes at night before bed, but that's it. And so there's just this agreement that there's going to be a low expectation while these people are spending the night at our house. And so we've given a phrase to this. We say, we're going to treat you with benign neglect. Benign neglect. Now, being filled with the Spirit means that we do not treat the Holy Spirit with benign neglect as if he's just some guest in a back room of our house. Being filled with the Spirit means that the Spirit fills us and fills every room of the house. He's invited into every room of the house so that his influence pervades everything about us. Well, this leads us, first of all, to a life of dependency. This command, be filled with the Spirit, calls you and me to a life of dependency upon the Spirit. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, that is, don't go around under the influence of alcohol. But I think the drunkenness here that Paul has in mind is much more than just having one too many glasses of wine. Drunk on wine, I think, is symbolic for something much larger, that of the old life, depending on anything other than the Holy Spirit to get by with in life. You know, the word drunk literally means soaked. And it's a word used in the process of stretching animal hides. An animal hide would be taken and it would be soaked in oils and fats. It would absorb those and thus become supple and so more stretchable. Well, we might ask the question, what is your life soaking in? You know, in a sense, and I don't mean this to offend anybody, but in a sense, we're all functional alcoholics. We are all functioning by depending on something to get through life on. It's just that our beverage of dependence varies. A man told his wife that he never wanted to live in a vegetative state, you know, depending on a machine. And if that ever happened, he said, I want you to pull the plug. So his wife got up and unplugged the TV. I think that hit home with some people, you know. I know that's rather corny, but consider your life. My brothers, my sisters, what truly fills, soaks your life, and so influences the way you handle your relationships, deal with injustices, face your troubles, love your spouse, treat your friends, respond to your parents, serve your boss. And there's a huge difference between dependency on the Holy Spirit and dependency on some other wine of this world, however you would define that wine of dependence. And when just think about alcohol, when we are filled with alcohol, we become dull to our surroundings and the pain we're in. But being filled with the Spirit opens our eyes to the presence of God with us in our pain. Alcohol gets rid of worry by making us forget. Being filled with the Holy Spirit helps us remember who we are, who God is, and what he's promised us in his word in these circumstances of life. Alcohol gives you courage by making you stupid. You know, you're unaware of the dangers around you. Being filled with the Spirit gives you courage. Why? Because the Spirit shows you how much larger God is than whatever it is you are fearing in that moment. The alcohol adds excitement to life by cheap thrills, but by the morning, those thrills are gone. The Holy Spirit adds excitement to your life by taking you into the very presence of God where there is fullness of joy forevermore. So what is filling you? What are you depending upon to get by in life? You know, we will never depend on the Spirit and pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit until we know ourselves to be empty. We will never pray for the Spirit's power and influence until we know ourselves to be weak. But that's the problem, isn't it? For one, we hate being weak, and for a lot of us, we think we're pretty strong. You know, we're powerful, we're accomplished, we're self-sufficient, and that is so true for many of us. You know, we might not say it outright, but how much of life this past week did you live this way? That you were thinking, going through what you went through, that you went through thinking, yeah, I don't need much of God in this. I got this one. I can handle this one. And so you were prayerless and independent. That is living in drunken dependence on self-reliance rather than being full of the Spirit. You're full of self. Be filled with the Spirit. This is a call to a life of dependency, recognizing I need God to live this life that I've been given. Certainly, if I'm going to live it to his glory. Well, ask. Ask for and yield your life in every room of your life. Yield it to the Holy Spirit's influence. But second, when we think about this command to be filled with the Spirit, this is an invitation to joy. It's an invitation to the joy of a life of access, a life of access. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 18 of Ephesians, we have access to one Spirit, in one Spirit, to the Father. Access in one Spirit to the Father. Now, don't you hate being on the outside of anything? I mean, you know, outside the in-group, the cool people, the hip people, or outside even of a closed door. I've gotten into so much trouble throughout my life as I look back by standing outside a closed door and wanting to know what's behind it and trying to get in. Well, Scripture's testimony is that all of us are outsiders with God. That's where we begin. And salvation is not merely being free of sin and going to heaven instead of hell. The best part of salvation is access to God. Christian, you don't physically see God face to face right now, but you have it. You have his face, the fullness of his attentive love fixed on your life. Jesus prayed in John 17, 23, to the Father, I in them and you in me, so the world may know that you loved them even as you loved me. That Father, you loved them even as you loved me. I wanna say that I believe that is the pinnacle, folks. There is nothing greater beyond that. This is access to the Father, to the love of the Father. There is nothing possibly that is more glorious than that. And you have it, Christian. You have it right now. Oh, you don't see it face to face, but God's love is there. It is real, and it is in your life. And my hunch is that probably the love of God is the one thing that most of us doubt. That is real in our lives. If you were to picture, you were to imagine the look on our Father in heaven's face, the look on his face as the Father ponders your life right now. I mean, where you are, what you're going through. What would the look on the Father's face be as he looks at you? I think so many of us would say, I think it would probably be a frown. That the Father's so disappointed with me, and we're disappointed with ourselves, so how could the Father not be disappointed as well, right? And I want to say that I think that is drinking in the wrong spirit. That is not the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that the Father loves you even as he loves Jesus. And you know, while we struggle to believe that, Jesus does not. And here's why we need the filling of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit brings a truth encounter to our hearts that we are loved. And he makes that love real to us. I've had such joy this week as I've allowed the Spirit to take a truth and to really make it real in my heart. I woke every morning this week and I just pondered this, that there is nothing I have to do today to get God on my side to love me more. And there's nothing I have done or could do that would make God love me less. And I just let the Holy Spirit make that real, and it became so sweet to me that my Father in heaven loves, forgives, and accepts me. Well, yeah, but what about my sin? My brother and my sister in Christ, your sin is not a problem anymore. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not living in the courthouse. The courthouse lights are shut off. The door is locked. Jesus died for you, and he has transferred you to the living room of God's grace and love. And that is where you live. It is in the full family embrace of the love of God for you. But I still mess up. I know we all do. But Jesus Christ has brought us into the embrace of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us there. And even when the Father does discipline us, and we know Scripture's testimony, the Father disciplines those he loves. It's not hatred. It's love. And all the discipline of the Father is meant for is to bring us deeper into the secret place that is to himself, the embrace of his love for us in Jesus. Picture a little girl walking hand in hand with her daddy, maybe, you know, walking along, and all is well. The child is happy. She's just so delighted to be out having fun with her daddy. But suddenly her father stops. He reaches down and he sweeps his child up into his arms. He hugs her tightly and he kisses her face and he says to her, whispering in her ear, "I love you so much." And then he pulls her away from himself and his face is in her face. And he says with absolute beaming joy, "I am so glad you are mine. So glad you are mine." And he hugs her again and then puts her down and they continue walking along. That is what you have, Christian, with the Holy Spirit. He does not merely open the way and say, "Go on in." The Holy Spirit brings you into the love of the Father. Now, obviously, it is by faith, but it is real. God's love is a weighty thing in our lives, and this is what the Spirit makes weighty and real. We already looked at Ephesians 3:16, but again, by the power of the Spirit, it is the Spirit who strengthens you in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength with all the saints to understand the love of Christ, how high and long and wide and deep it is. Why? So that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That is access. That is where the Father wants to bring you, and it is where the Holy Spirit will bring you. Be filled with the Spirit. Ask the Spirit to bring you all the way into the love of the Father for you, that you may live soaking in, influenced by the love of God for you. A life of dependency, a life of access resulting in joy. This is what being filled with the Spirit involves. But being filled with the Spirit, again, because this is a command, there's one other thing that this means. It means that we are called, demanded to walk a life of obedience, a life of obedience. There's no passivity on our part. There's no hanging back, just waiting for God to zap us before we do anything. No, we are to intentionally, decisively walk with the Spirit, and it must be in obedience. You know, Paul issues all sorts of commands in chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians, and we're going to get to the bulk of those later in August when we resume our series in Ephesians. We're going to take a little summer break here after today. But there's all these commands of putting off lies, speaking the truth with one another, loving one another, not being angry, not stealing, but having something to share with others, building others up. There's commands to husbands and wives, children and parents, servants and masters. And we're going to be looking at those, but all of that could be summed up as what a Spirit-filled life is, what it involves, where the Spirit brings us, so that we may walk in all those things in obedience, reflecting the character of Christ, the purity of Christ. And the Spirit is leading us in that. Obey, walk this way. And as we do, there's tremendous joy. There's unity in the church. There's advancement of the gospel. And this really is where the Spirit is leading us, because the Spirit is producing the character of Christ, the purity of Christ in us. But the Spirit is also going somewhere with us. He's leading us in a way of life that reflects the purposes of Jesus. And the purposes of Jesus are the kingdom advancement in this world, His kingdom that brings blessing to our neighbors and the gospel to the lost. Well, the Holy Spirit, in tune with Jesus and the Father, understanding what the great mission of Jesus is, will bring you and me to join in that mission. And so the Spirit will bring us to these doors that look closed, but then all of a sudden they'll crack open a little bit, and the call of the Spirit is, obey, walk through this door. Walk through, because there's ministry that Jesus wants to accomplish through you. I see Brad Long here, my dear brother, and I hope it's okay to tell this story on you. It's a good story. Brad talks about me when he's in other places, so I'm going to talk about him. But Brad goes all over the world teaching on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Well, Brad was coming home one day from being away 10 days. He's driving up Montreat Road to go home to his house. And he sees walking the other way this black gentleman, young black man, with a pack on his back. And Brad feels the nudge of the Holy Spirit, stop, pick that man up, and bring him to where he wants to go. A very specific word. Well, Brad kept driving. He said, Lord, I've been gone 10 days serving you. I've done enough. I just want to go home and see my wife. So he drives, and he drives all the way and parks in his driveway. And the Spirit is still prodding him. God is so good with these things. Turn around, go give that man a ride to where he wants to go. And so Brad says, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But first, let me go in and say hi to my wife, Laura. Well, the Lord says, okay, that's great. But now I also want you to feed the man dinner. Brad's thinking, I'm going to obey because I might be putting this man up for the night if I don't. You know, well, Brad goes in, he greets Laura. He tells her the story about, you know, the Spirit's prompting me. I need to go give this man a ride and give him dinner. And Laura says, you know, we don't have anything in the house, but you're going to have to go take him out to dinner. Well, Brad gets back in the car, drives down the road, sees this man still walking, pulls over. Hey, do you need a ride? Oh, yeah, I'd love one. The man gets in the car. Where to? Oh, I'm just going down to the I-40 interchange. Talk about easy. That's like a half a mile driving. This is nothing. Brad's thinking, man, I'm going to be home in no time. And then the Holy Spirit nudges him. No, dinner. Feed him dinner also. Okay. Hey, are you hungry? I haven't had a bite to eat. I'm hungry. Are you? Yeah, I'm hungry. Well, hey, let's go get a bite. So Brad drives to Denny's. They get a quick meal. Get back in the car. Brad drives him to the I-40 interchange. And before the man gets out of the car, he turns to Brad and he says, you know, I told you that I was up here from Atlanta camping in these mountains, but I didn't tell you why. I'm wrestling with a call to the ministry, and I couldn't get any peace, so I decided to go camping to be alone with God. And after 3 days, still no peace, so I told God this, look, I will know you're calling me and I'll obey, If I walk down the road of a white town and a white man stops and gives me a ride and takes me to dinner, can you imagine the joy exploding in Brad Long's heart over that? And the horror of, what if I had messed that up? You know, I love how gracious God is. God was not going to let that man off the hook. And I think one of the real human heroes in this is not Brad for his ability to hear, but his wife, Laura, who also sensed her husband gone for 10 days. He's home, he's done enough, but is sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to realize, I need to set my husband free to go do this. And without any bitterness, says, I'll see you in a little bit. Well, there's joy in the heart that comes from obedience like this, because we're joining Jesus in his works of advancing the kingdom. We have no idea sometimes what Jesus is up to, and we don't always have to know, but the Spirit knows. And the Spirit will put in this door in front of us, and it might seem really scary to walk through it. It might be really inconvenient. You know, I think just a word of caution here, be very suspicious if you think that all the nudgings of the Holy Spirit are those that just happen to line up with everything fun you enjoy doing anyway. You know, the Spirit may nudge you at the wrong time in your schedule to stop, to help somebody, to pray for somebody, to pick up the phone, to make a call, to speak a word, to serve. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, to recognize his voice, and most importantly, to obey. But what if I can't recognize his voice? Well, for one thing, you can be certain of, the Spirit will never contradict the word of God, the written word of God. So test everything there. But beyond that, ask the Spirit to teach you what his voice sounds like. And then you know what? Just take some risks. If you feel a nudging, maybe you're wondering, is this of me? Is this of the Spirit? Well, go with it. Commit it to the Lord. Trust him that he might even be able to work in that. But act on that nudging. Don't turn and watch TV. Don't get on Facebook until the nudging passes. You're learning to hear the voice of the Spirit often means we have to do some double listening. We have to listen to others, but we also have to have our ear tuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, I guarantee you're going to have thousands of conversations this week with children, spouses, colleagues at work, friends in the neighborhood. Well, listen to all the things that they're saying, but also ask for and listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen for his guidance, and then step out in obedience to anything he shows you, to pray, to speak, to serve, or maybe it's just to keep listening to that person. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, this demands that we ask of ourselves, what am I honestly filled with today? What is influencing my life? Truth is that we all leak. We all leak spiritually. And so there's going to be a constant filling of something, filling you up with something. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul says. Remain dependent on the Spirit. Go with the Spirit. That full access you have, let the Spirit lead you into the love of the Father, to let his love influence and fill you in every area of your life. And obey the Spirit as he leads you in the works of Jesus, in your neighborhood, in your home. Pentecost is here. The Spirit is given. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen.